The ID Mobile Wow Deals event is now on. Save up to £120 on the latest smartphones, including the awesome Samsung Galaxy A40. That's £120 you can spend on other stuff, like 2,123 chocolate eggs, perhaps. But hurry, the ID Mobile Wow Deals event ends April the 21st. Switch and save today at idmobile.co.uk. While stocks last, offer subject to change. T's and C's apply. See website for details.
Night gathers, and my Now TV watch begins. It will not end until I have finished all 8 seasons of Game of Thrones. I shall take no spoilers, nor skip ahead. Instead, I will defend my house from eternal channel hopping. I am the watcher of brilliant shows like Chernobyl and The Wire. More than enough great TV to last even the longest winter. Your 7-day free trial awaits. To start your night's watch, simply search Now TV. 18 plus new entertainment customers only. Auto renews at $8.99 per month. Unless cancelled, terms apply.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors, the Bay Area Betches.
Betches!
You're the Wyndham beneath our wings, Joe Wyndham.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela. Etchels! Let's run some errands with Emily Ahrens.
Oops, she did it again. It's Brittany Montano.
Erin McNicholas. She don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Sarah Greenwood. She only uses her power for good.
He makes us squee. It's Richie D.
Jamie. She has no last namey.
Ashley Schiavone. She don't take no baloney.
You don't touch the Nicky Morgan letters.
One day you're Rachel's in, and the next day you're out.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Lisa Wallet. Now that's what I call wallentainment.
Higher than high res, it's Lauren Perez.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
Just saying, okay?
Christy Wowerty Dowerty.
Kelly Barlow, when she goes Barlow, we go high-low.
Hannah, God, I love that banana. Anderson.
And our super premium Patreon subscribers.
Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar.
We like her more than a smidge, it's Kelly Cartledge.
Better than Taboo. It's Annie and Julie. Let's take off with Tamala Plain.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Yes, we should with Carrie Bridgewood.
Lourdes, the Lourdes of the Rings.
Shannon out of a cannon Anthony.
The incredible Edible Matthews sisters.
Give them hell, Miss Noel. Kelly Stump, the Stump Master.
Always ready for Nicole Passaretti.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Is a frog's ass watertight? It's Rose and Sadie.
No one can do it like Andrea Jewett.
Yes, we can with Howley, Carolyn, and Anne.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD. Nancy, cease and desisto. We love you guys. Hello, and welcome to the Watch What Crappens bonus episode. It's me, Ronnie. That's Ben over there. Hi, Ben.
Hi, how's it going?
Sup, brah?
Sup. Happy bonus.
Yeah, happy bonus episode, everybody. This is a very special one because love may be blind, but not all of you are. So we're doing it all Crappens on demand on video. So if you want to hear this, go up to that level. And thanks to everybody for being here, as usual.
Hi.
Okay, so we wanted to do Love is Blind because everybody's talking about it. And then we're like, well, we don't have time in our schedule. And then we're not watching, you know, we're not covering a lot of Bravo shows. So we don't have time in our schedule. So how are we going to cover Love is Blind if we're not? Blah, blah. So we watched an entire fucking thing just to do one bonus episode. I mean, what the hell?
Pretty much. Well, it was a combination of watching a whole show for one episode, but it was also everyone was talking about it. Basically, until the pandemic arrived, everyone was talking about Love is Blind. You could maybe make an argument that it was part of the pandemic, right? But everyone was talking about it. And no one could stop talking about it. And so we were it's not the normal show that I watch. You know, I don't watch too many of the romantic reality shows. But since I have become a convert to Love Island UK, I thought, well, maybe, you know, maybe I am developing an interest in sort of in romantic reality. So I was like, OK, I'll give it a shot, too. And you know,
and
here we are.
And here we are. Episode. Yeah. So romantic reality. I cover The Bachelor on my other show, and it's crazy and fake. But then over the years, you start seeing some of these people really do take it seriously, and I guess they're not faking it.
Yeah.
Or at least their tears look real. I mean, I don't know. I base everything on whether someone can cry, like if they're telling the truth or not. And generally, I believe if I see real tears. So then I've started getting basically brainwashed, like believing that stuff more. So I'm not sure. With this one, I don't know that I did, but it was super fun to watch it. It was crazy. The show is crazier than I thought it could be. So let's just pretend like you guys haven't seen it and go through what it basically is.
I mean, I'll say this. I thought it was crazy. I actually did not enjoy it. I'm just going to put it out there. I'm happy to say it. This to me was not an enjoyable experience for me. I kept on thinking it was about to get better. And every episode, there'd be like a moment where you say, ooh. And then, but I thought that by and large, I thought it was actually very boring and very uninteresting. I thought the people were across the board very uninteresting, but they will be hilarious to make fun of, that's for sure.
Well, most, you know, who's like that? Couples, okay? Good couples.
Yeah.
Do you really want to go to dinner with them? No, you don't, okay? And that's why they have to go out with couple friends, and they have to make friends and be couples with other couples, because they can just bore the fuck out of each other, okay? The guy's like, I married this girl. She's the most boring thing I've ever met in my life. I have to go talk to another dude, and we can talk about sports. And then the guy's like, finally, a dude to talk to. And the girl's like, oh, my God, man, right? And that's how I've always looked at it as a waiter, because I, you know, wait on that all the time. And so that's why I think, like, waiting tables has made me never want to be in a couple, you know, because I think that's
it. I can understand that.
Because, you know, some people ask me if it's a psychological issue. Like, what is it about you? Or have you been traumatized? And I'm like, no, I want to die like my Auntie Lulu. She came into this world alone. She died alone. And she was the happiest bitch I ever knew in my life. She died at like 90-something with a smile on her face. Bless her heart.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that it was waiting tables. Now, if I had to name something that just made me never want to be in a couple,
that would be it. I mean, this show could be also part of what contributes to it, because these are just all excessively bland people, like determinedly bland. So like some of the most bland reality stars we've ever seen. But for those who have been not paying attention to the show, who don't know what it's about, the idea is that all these people, a bunch of men and a bunch of women, get cordoned off, and they are put in basically what's called pods. And they talk to each other, and they don't get to see what they don't get to see what each other look like in terms of all the men know each other, all the women know each other. But when they go on these dates one on one, they can't see each other face to face, and they form a connection. And the show, which is hosted by Nick Lachey, who and his wife Vanessa Minnillo, and when they walk in to introduce themselves to the cast, Vanessa Minnillo is like, "Hi, I'm Vanessa Minnillo," and he goes, "And I'm Nick Lachey, obviously."
Yeah, he's like, "Obviously." I'm Nick Lachey. I was like, really?
Okay. So they keep on pushing this this narrative of, we want to see, is love really blind? Can you fall in love with someone without even seeing them? You don't even know what they look like, as if they're going to have some sort of like 500-pound monster in the pod. And then like you come out, and by the way, people who are 500 pounds are not monsters, but I'm just saying, like, someone who is not like the classic, you know, reality TV standard. And as if like someone's going to form a bond with that. And then it's like, oh my God, you are not physically what I want, like that. But everyone is generally good looking. There's like, it's like, can some generally good looking people fall in love with other generally good looking people? That's what we're asking.
But also, here's my major problem with the show, was that it's not fair. Okay. I get that you're in a pod, which, first of all, the word pod makes you think of change or evolution, or like a cocoon, or something that you go into and you emerge a better person, right?
Yeah.
That's what it makes me think of. That didn't happen. But then the other thing is that these people, they're still judging what the person is putting across. Like, they're still judging their voice. And this was what happened, at least in my view, on the show. People listened for the people who sounded like an idiot, like they were. Like, Barnett wanted to date the bimbo-sounding girls. And so he ended up – and then that girl, Jessica, who doesn't even talk like that, was talking like, oh, my God, I love working out and the Pilates. I love Ben. And it's like, of course, all the guys are like, I want to bang her because she sounds like a thin hooker. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, it's so funny because I believe it was the first episode when Jessica was on her first date with Mark, or just in one of her early dates. And he's like, yeah, I'm from Chicago originally. She's like, really? I'm from Chicago also. And he's like, I love the Bears.
Oh my God. I love the Bears also.
My mom makes Italian meat.
Oh my God. I love Italian meat. I think that like my connection with Mark is like I've never felt this way before.
Yeah, we're both from Chicago. Oh my God. Like, do you know how many millions of people there are in Chicago? You could literally marry any one of those people the way you people are talking, you know? And I feel like so much of what we normally get to make fun of are the women, and just because we watch Bravo and it is mostly women. But this show is an equal mix of idiocy, you know? And that's why I like covering The Bachelor, because it's not, it's everybody's an idiot, you know? You know what I mean? And like, we finally get to talk about that. Because Jessica is the glaring idiot in this show. She's the girl who's really striving hard to be the kind of girl that everyone wants to fuck, even vocally, you know? And then, of course, she turns out to be kind of a jackass through the whole thing. And she turned into the kind of the villain. But the villain, to me, is Barnett. I think that guy is such a monster.
I think Damien is the villain, actually. So I actually, believe it or not, at first I thought Jessica was, you know, crazy idiot. But I actually don't think she's an idiot. I just think that she's not in tune with her own emotions. I don't think she's not honest with herself. I think it was obvious to anyone who watched, right, that she was into Mark, but she's also into Barnett, because Barnett is, by the way,
Wait, hold on. We're cutting out here.
Boy. Oh, coach is Joe, because she always goes for.
Wait, hold on. We cut out there, so go back.
Oh, you know what?
Did you not put it on Ethernet?
You know what? I forgot to put it on Ethernet.
God damn it.
Sorry. Hold on. I'm doing it right now. Hold on.
Cut us off.
I know. We'll have a little.
Is love on Ethernet? Ben's gone now. He died. He's dead.
I'm back.
He's back.
Okay. That was at 8 minutes. So,
sorry, everybody. Welcome to technical difficulties. So yeah, go ahead. So the last thing I heard was saying that Barnett is a villain, and you said no, Damien is, but Jessica's not an idiot because
I think that she's not in tune with her emotions. I don't think she's honest with herself. I think that she's not necessarily an idiot, because I actually felt like a lot of her takes on things were pretty sharp, believe it or not. I can't believe I'm saying that, but I felt like sometimes her takes on things were sharp. She just didn't have a take on herself. And she definitely is a self-sabotager. I think a bigger idiot is Giannina, and I think that Damien is a bigger asshole. I think the two of them are awful, and I cannot stand – like, every time it was a Damien and Giannina scene, I was like, please kill me now. Actually, no. I was like that for Kenny, and I don't even remember her name because she was so – Kelly, I think, because they were so boring.
Oh, God. But now, here's the thing. I just watched this whole thing, and I have to search everybody's name, so let's just – oh, you're talking. Okay. Well, first, Jessica. Now, when I say idiots.
Jessica. Let's stick with Jessica.
Yeah, just to go through it couple by couple, because I have to look each couple, because yes, they're like all such generic white people, mostly, that it's like, oh, is it a David or a Peter or a Kelly? Or, a, you know, I have to like see their names. But Jessica, I say idiot because I'm really struggling to not say the word bitch all the time. Like, she's a bitch, because that's not cool. I think she's an asshole, Jessica. I don't know that she's an idiot, but I think she's a completely selfish asshole. I don't believe that she's 34 either. I think she's older.
I think she's
older.
38 at least.
Yes, and which is fine, but like, stop lying. And I think she's just a waster of people's time, including mine, but especially other people. And I think that she did know what she was doing, and she was just hoping that something would happen with Barnett. And I think she's just a horrible human being. Like, she's one of those people that's just not a good person. She's only thinking about herself. I don't like her. People are really ganging up on her on the internet.
I don't think she's a horrible human being. I think though, for sure, I think you could say she's selfish. And I think that because she was not honest with herself, she hurt a lot of people in the process.
Well, she was being honest. If she wasn't being honest, she wasn't being honest with herself and what she was saying to us. So she was saying one thing to us, but her actions and the way that whatever she was saying with her face, she was being honest with herself. She was just not being honest with anybody else. Like, it was really obvious that she liked Barnett. Like, everyone saw that.
Yes.
And whether or not you're drunk, you know, like the night they get together for this cocktail party after they're already coupled up. So she gets, and she's like obviously coming for Barnett again, right? Yeah. Right in front of his fiance, which of course I get it. It's a TV show and they've been fiancés for 5 minutes, but still. coming for him. And then later she's like, well, I wasn't coming for you. I mean, what? You're not into me? I wasn't even coming for you. What? I love Mark. When it's obvious she doesn't. And she's just wasting that
she
poor
was
guy's
an asshole.
Time.
I take it back. You're right. Like, she was, that's
she's
true.
She's
just I forgot.
Such an asshole. It's like she's embarrassing that guy on national TV. And, you know, not that he doesn't deserve
like,
it, but.
But also, like, Mark is an idiot. Let's
Mark's
not, like,
an
take
idiot
away.
Too.
Mark
yes.
is, like, the biggest idiot. He sits there just, like, staring at her like she's a goddess. She's sitting there feeding wine to her dog. He loves wine. I'm like, how did you find out that your dog loves wine? How did that process begin? And you thought to yourself, let me just, like, feed some of this precious wine to my dog.
My
and then
baby
she takes
loves
gulp.
PCP. It's like, like, your baby does not just tell you one day it loves PCP, okay? You were just giving your baby PCP.
But you know what, though? She also doesn't have – Jessica does not have – she's lacking some sort of self-confidence in that when she was rejected by Barnett, she should have just said, guess this show isn't going to work out for me, because she clearly was not interested in Mark. And she went back to Mark trying to convince herself. I think that was the thing. I guess that's why I don't think she's a full asshole, because I think she was trying to convince herself that this was going to work out.
Because we both live, you know, we're both from Chicago.
We both like hot dogs. So.
We like hot dogs.
Like I don't think she was even trying to make it work. I think she was just trying to stay on the show. It's like typical Bachelor shit, you know, and maybe it's because I watch so much Bachelor.
No,
and
I think she was trying to make it work.
Onto it. To me, it looked like she really wanted to just be with Barnett, but because he was being the guy that she couldn't get, that he was more attractive to her, you know, and you see it all the time on the Bachelor shows. So I was taking it that way because with Mark, she never really seemed to like him at all. Like, she was like, well, okay, I'll deal with you till the end of this show. But then she was so mean about it at the end of the show that I was like, wow, she doesn't even like the guy. She didn't even like him as a friend, you know?
Well, here's what I think. I do believe she was trying to convince herself, you know, that she liked this person. This is something that happens, you know, where someone, you had a connection, it was great, and then you got distracted, whatever. Or you know, sometimes what happens, I feel like, when you date someone is that you have like some really great dates and it feels really good. And then it just sort of goes away. As I say on Love Island, I got the ick. And so sometimes you get the ick. And then you say to yourself, why am I getting the ick? Like, why am I getting the ick? Everything was great. This is a me issue. I can work through this. I can make it happen. Because I think that people want that fairy tale. And I think that's what she wanted. She was like, no. I had a connection with Mark and it would have been a great connection, but I got distracted by Barnett because he's a fuckboy and that's what fuckboys do. But I'm sure I feel something with Mark. And what would happen was she was always trying to convince herself, even though it was clear she never really liked him. And then I think at that point she'd gone too far. So then she had to really commit to it. And then it seemed like things would be bad and they'd be good. They did finally have sex. But I think actually the game changer was when she went to his house and she saw his bedroom and she was sitting there in his bedroom and there was like a neon sign up there and like some shitty, like full on like 20, even though he's 24, but it was like 22 year old furniture, like 18 year old, like college frat furniture.
Yeah.
You could just see in her eyes like, this
well,
is,
I think
I'm not
that
this.
I definitely saw that. To me, in my head, that was confirming to her what she already knew the second she saw him. Because guess what? Love is not blind. Okay? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But people, the second she saw him in real life, and he's hot as hell. Now, he does have those dumb people wide eyes, like the Homer Simpson eyes. It's just like, he's really dumb, so he keeps his eyes wide open all the time to convince you that he's not dumb. It's like,
yeah,
I'm awake.
Just learned about microwaves.
Yeah. He's like, wow, I'm doing the bare minimum. I'm really awake, okay? So I have some kind of a brain. But I think when she saw him and saw that he was short, because she even said, because girls hate that now, and not every girl, I don't want to stereotype every girl, but one thing you hear on these shows all the time is like, I want a guy 6'4", has a full head of hair, no baldies, no. It's like the equivalent of guys being like, no fatties, no fat chicks or whatever on Tinder.
No, girls, it happens in Love Island UK all the time.
Yeah, girls are like that with height and with hair, right? So I think that she saw that he was short and was like, now, You know, because she said, "I saw you saw the disappointment in her face. Like, she cannot hide anything on her face." And he was, like, totally excited to see her. You know, it's like a Keebler elf seeing a tree with a hole that he could live in. You know, he was so excited. And she was basically the tree with a hole. And she was not excited to have that little cookie making babies inside of her. She was like, no cookie.
Definitely not.
No elf.
And, you know, the thing is that, by the way, we should also talk about the fact that she is just a vicious drunk. She is just, she is a drunk. We've all been cornered by her at a cocktail party. She's been, we have encountered her way too much with the purple teeth from the red wine and the slumped over, just saying things like, Barnett, I just want to say, like, I'm just surprised you and Amber, I mean, just, I saw you as like a cultured guy and like, I just never thought that you and her, but like, I love that, but I just never thought.
Like, I love that for you, even though it's her.
I mean, how would you think that he's cultured in any way? Okay, so let's talk about Barnett. Let's talk about, I'm done with shitting on Jessica. Although, I will say it was kind of funny that she is such an adult. You know, they kept pointing out how old she is over and over, which is a lie, but, she is such an adult because she came to the reunion like,
well, obviously I didn't like seeing horrible things I was seeing and like maybe I could have really been kinder and like
she knew how to answer it to get herself out of trouble. But basically the underlying message of the reunion was stop being mean to this girl online because everybody's been so mean to her. Like someone posted on the Rose Pricks page the other day, this is what coronavirus looks like. And then people were like, come on, guys, let's stop being mean to Jessica. She's been shit on enough, and we've all been there. Yeah. So,
yeah, I mean, she's a full-on disaster, a full-on undermining, drunken disaster who's not honest with herself and wasted Mark's time, but she doesn't deserve that much hate. I mean, if anything, she's the one that made the show watchable, so let's not forget that.
Yeah, I think my main thing, the main reason I didn't like her from the beginning was I really don't like when people affect a stupid personality to win men. Basically, it bothers me. It's like, what kind of man do you think you're going to get if you're purposely acting like, oh my God. Like, if you're trying to sound like that to attract a big douchebag, what do you think you're going to get? A big douchebag, you know? And you
And you know what? She actually did have one more thing. She did have an explicitly asshole moment, which is when she got really wasted at Barnett's birthday party. And then afterwards, she was with Mark in bed. And, who is he talking about? Which girl was he talking about that he said that she was he said that she was a close second. I forget. Was it Lauren? Maybe. I don't know. But he was mentioning they were talking about a girl that they both were like, we love her. And he goes, yeah, she's a close second to you. She goes, close second? Like, what is that supposed to mean? Like, why is she a close second? Like, who am I to you? Like, why? How about this? I think Barnett is fucking sexy. I was like, it was such a dick drunk moment. I mean, I don't know why he didn't leave her right then and there.
Because that guy has such a desperation to win. He's one of those guys who's just like, I want to win. I got to win. I can't be like dumped on national TV. Like, I'm short. Like, he's got that weird manic energy that he just has to win. And he would do anything it takes to make it work. Like, he doesn't know her. All he knows is that she's pretty, which she is very pretty. Yeah. And that she, you know, kind of had that effect or whatever. That effect, I guess I should say. He knew that. He knew that she liked Chicago. I mean, what else does he really know? Once he actually met her, face to face, and they spent time together, it's obvious that she hates his guts and hopes he dies. So
he's an idiot. Like, that's the thing. I don't think it's even about like that he wants to win. I think it's that he saw something. He fell in love. I think he fell in love with the idea of being in love, and he was excited about it. He kept on saying, "My mother always said that people come into your like God puts people into your life for a reason, or whatever." I think he was like ascribing all sorts of importance that was not there to this. He was ridiculous.
I think he just wanted to stay on the show till the end and not go home.
I don't know.
I'm a much more cynical, you know, I have a much more cynical view. We don't have to agree.
No, I think he was like,
oh no, what are you going to do? How are you going to keep getting your Instagram followers if you don't keep this shitty relationship going?
No, I think that he had like, I think he just had hearts in his eyes because he was young, which is why Jessica kept saying like, yeah, but like there is an age difference. And it was actually getting annoying. I was like, Jessica, you're allowed to bring this up one more time and then you got to fucking shut up.
Oh yeah, we didn't really
mention
that's all she says.
It was like all she would talk about. And then she even tells her friends, her friends are like, who cares?
And I'm like 34 and he's like 24 and that is like 24. Oh my God, he's 24. He's 24.
There was that part where she's like,
okay, well, I'm 34 and you're 24, so that means if we had a kid, that I would be 14. Four, and he's 14.
He's 14. That makes me 50. That makes you 40. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, like if the kid was like 8, then the kid would be like, I would be like 47, and then you would be like 11.
I'm like, wait,
and if, what if we have a 12-year-old child on a train going 60 miles per hour.
Yeah.
And then there's another train that you're on and you're 10 years younger than me. How old will I be when our trains meet?
It's like, Jesus, you're not molting. You know what I mean? Calm down. Like, wait till you get to 44, honey. All right.
Yeah. Which also, by the way, lends more credibility to the idea that she's not just 34. Because if she was like 38, I think her clock would be ticking even more aggressively, which is I think she was trying to basically say, I want a baby as soon as we get married, and I don't want you to walk out the moment you like, you know, because you're 24 and you're liable to do that. That's what she was saying over and over again. But she was saying it so many times that she was also saying it so many times to annoy him so that way he would dump her, so that way she wouldn't have to dump him. Because she did not want it to work out, and she was looking for ways to sabotage it, and he was like unsabotageable until finally she just had to literally say, I don't accept you. No.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so that's those two crazy kids. So they ended up getting to the end, and at the very end, it's kind of a bachelor type thing where you have to propose and get married. And yeah. So I guess they tell them, you both have to act like you're going to do it, and then you can say no after the speeches, which is so cold, but it's so reality TV. So she had to come out, even though everyone knew she wasn't into it. She looked like she was about to jump off a bridge, you know. And then she came out and she gives this speech like,
oh my God, like you, I've been so kind, and I do love you. I do love you. I do. I do love you. And whatever.
And then he's like, oh my God, you know, my eyes are really dry and I can't see you clearly, but I know you're beautiful. The shape of you is beautiful.
I'm trying to take this all in right now, and I really can. I sort of actually have wide angle lenses on my eyeballs. I'm really getting a lot of detail in this moment.
There's flies crawling on my eyeball right now, but I can't blink it away. So, so he gives her this big, you know, beautiful proposal. She's like,
no, but I like you.
And then she storms off and she's like,
well, you know what? I wish I could say I'm sorry, but I'm not.
Like, she was just so evil at the end. I was like, look, obviously, you know, I was too, because it was great TV. But it was also like, why would you do that to that poor boy? Like, he didn't do anything mean to you. He's been nothing but kind to you.
He has been nothing but kind. And she should have just recognized that she just wasn't that into it. And she just didn't want to be. It's one of those things where you try so hard to not be the bad guy. And then all of a sudden you wind up being the worst person of all because you tried so hard not to be the bad guy. But she definitely. Well, and the thing is this. So to go back to what you were saying a few minutes ago, she was hung up on Barnett. And what the this guy, what is the deal with Barnett? He just must have big dick energy or something that just goes through those walls.
He's got the same thing.
Three women.
He's got the same thing Jessica does for women. He does the same thing in the man version where he's like, hey, you know, what's up? And he just acts, he doesn't have an accent, but he just has this attitude in his voice. Like, he doesn't have to make any effort. He doesn't have to say anything. Mm-hmm. Just have a deep voice, sound tall, and big dicked, which he did. And I feel like that's the same version of Jessica's like, that's his version of that, which is why he attracted both those kinds of girls, you know?
Yeah, it's amazing that like someone who like just reads as much as a fuckboy as Barnett, how that comes through in his voice, and it attracts the exact women who always fall for fuckboys. I mean, we are, you know, recapping Summer House, you know, this season, and we're seeing this play out with Lindsay and Carl, you know. Now, Lindsay is a crazy person, but Lindsay and Carl are the type of people that are drawn to each other and then explode apart, right? And it's just funny how these types come together, and now you have three women – were falling over this guy Barnett, who has no discernible personality. Like, I think his most distinctive personality trait is that he has very thick hair that I'm fascinated by. But other than that, he sort of sits there.
He does have like
and smiles with his tongue out.
He does have like a hair that's like a helmet. It's weird. It's like a hat. It's like a baseball cap, but made out of hair. It's
like a parka. It's like, you know, it's I want to say like an Eskimo thing, but I feel like that's culturally insensitive. You know, like those, you know, those like jackets out of the hoods, like the big puffy hoods. He's got like a puffy hood of hair.
Yeah. What is his first name? Because he's not showing up under Barnett.
Matthew Barnett.
Why aren't they putting him on here? He's like the most popular guy on the show. You'd think that he'd be on here. I'm trying to find his... We're on a site where we can see their Instagrams and stuff like that. Yeah. So I'm scrolling through to see his...
Well, while you look for that... So Matthew Barnett. I thought he was a trainer pretty much the entire series until like the second to last episode.
He's an engineer from Canton, Georgia.
Yeah. So basically he comes on. He's hot. You know, and like for the show,
his energy is hot. Yeah, he's like a
hot energy.
He's like baseball, and I don't play baseball, but he does look like a baseball guy who's like just kind of hot because he's spitting and he looks stinky and like, you know how baseball players on TV are just like they're always like over it and they have no energy. You know, they just look like surly assholes. No offense, everybody, but that's totally the energy he gives, and that's the vocal energy he gives too. Shane Keough, yeah, that's.
Yeah, and he does fuck with the women a lot. He's like, I don't know where I'm at. I don't know. Because he tells Jessica, the reason why Jessica went in this whirlwind in the first place, he told Jessica pretty much that he was ready to propose to her. And then the next day, he decided to propose to Amber.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for...
Have you heard about Knives Out?
I suspect foul play.
A Pitch Perfect whodunit. That's yours to own.
Tell me everything.
Critics are calling Knives Out delectably entertaining. 5 stars. An all-star modern classic.
Exactly.
Knives Out. Available now.
Stay warm for a while. 18 degrees on Saturday. Cooler though as we head through the week across all areas.
Hey,
have a good afternoon.
What's this? It's all right. Daddy's here. Come on. What's this?
You might be surprised to know that you can get de facto 5-star life insurance from Aviva from just £5 a month. Yep, thought so.
Don't put it off. Get a life insurance quote today. Direct at aviva.co.uk.
All right, Crappin's commercial.
So Amber is uniquely awful. Like, she is so terrible. She spends half the show doing this open mouth guffaw. Like, he's not going to get away from me. I just want to stuff an apple in that thing.
I fix tanks in Iraq. Like, her thing was like, she works for the military and she's a tank engineer or something in Iraq. And she's like, I'm just one of the boys. Like, that's her thing, you know, which is such a reality show trope.
Imagine someone who's like in a permanent state of Julia Roberts just getting a jewelry box closed on her fingers. Yeah. That is what she is. It's like she probably walks around saying, big mistake, huge.
Yeah. And they had another relationship that's like, what do you guys even see in each other? She's like, oh my God, you are so hilarious. You know what I like? Guys who make me laugh. And he's like, yeah, you too. Like, you're so fucking hilarious. And that's it. And then they decide they're going to get married. Where did that even come from?
I don't even know, because honestly, the first episode, I thought that they were building up more Barnett and Jessica. And then Amber comes along. They talk about tinfoil balls or something. And then it's almost like you could see her tits because she has the best tits. These big old tits.
Who talks like that? She has great tits. Who are you?
No, meaning that she has, I shouldn't say the best tits. She just has the biggest ones. I'm just thinking in terms of Barnett. I'm talking about like Barnett's mindset, right?
Yeah.
Is that if you were to look at all the boobs lined up, he'd be like, yeah, she's got the best tits, right? And I feel like he somehow detected that, you know, through that wall. Like, she detected big dick energy. He detected like big boob energy. Like, that's how it came through.
Yeah, well, they definitely had that kind of relationship. Do you remember when Bethany Frankel was trying to set up, was it Tinsley? It was one of the younger cast members that she was trying to set up in the Hamptons, and she invited one of her really hot friends, and they were like, how did you know that we'd like each other? And she goes, well, hot people like each other. That's just it. That's all they have to be is hot. And I've always remembered that. And that's what this show is. It's like, even if they hear like, oh, they sound hot, okay, I'll be with them, because there's no chance in hell that they're ugly. Two things I have to point out. One is Barnett came to the reunion literally dressed like the coronavirus. His jacket has the shapes of the virus that we're seeing all over the news. Those little cute balls with arms. He's wearing that jacket. Also, he really got on the bad side of what's her face. Let me go back to the beginning. Probably the best one on this show.
Was it Elsie, the one, the third girl that he turned down?
The main one who got married.
Oh, Diamond. Diamond.
No, Diamond didn't get married.
Didn't he get on Beth out of Diamond?
No, Lauren. He told Lauren, you sound like you're African American. He said, oh, well, obviously you're African American. She's like, how could you tell that? And he's like, your voice. And she's like, fuck that douchebag.
Yeah.
She's like, fuck him. Right. And she had a perfect read on him and kept it until the end. And she was not wrong. What is on me? Am I being bitten?
Well, I think that was it Barnett, or maybe it was someone else who went in when they met with Diamond. He's like, oh, yeah, your name sounds like a stripper name. And she's like, fuck you. Was it Barnett who said that, or was it Damien, or
I think
some other person?
I remember that happening. You guys, I'm so sorry. I'm in Texas and the weather's warming up and there's like spiders everywhere and there's like bugs all over Texas. There's so many kinds of bugs in Texas and I just keep jumping thinking something's biting me. Anyway.
It's just Barnett. It's just Amber.
Just talking about these idiots. You. So Amber, before we move on, Amber, I'm sorry, but this relationship, yes, Barnett's a douchebag. Yes, everybody, you know, yes. But this girl, they go to his house. He's got a really nice house and her apartment. And then they get to finally ask each other these questions. He's like, so about marriage, like, are you like ready for that? And she's like, well, I mean, I have, you know, debt, you know, I have some credit card debt and, you know, I work to live. I don't live to work. And he's like, well, what does that mean? She's like, well, you know, I like sleep on my friend's couch. Okay. So you don't work and all you do is have money and basically all you do is fucking party. Why is that get ready to get married? You know, why would you want to get married to that? Are you fucking crazy? Get out of there.
I hate saying this about people, but I think she's looking for a meal ticket. I mean, she literally, once they decide they're getting married, she's like, I'm not even working right now. I'm just like working on the wedding. I'm like, the wedding is being arranged by Netflix. What are you talking about? Like, there's nothing for you to do. She is looking for someone. She wants to stay home and just Barnett will earn that money and she's going to eat bonbons. You know, that's what she's in it for.
Yeah. She is like very trashy. She's very obvious about it too. You know. So I don't know. I didn't like her.
She's very, very trashy. And Barnett's family hated her, detested her because he brought her around and she's like, hi, ha, 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 and they were just staring at her like, hey, who is this terrible piece of trash on our backyard deck? We just refinished this thing. We don't need slime on it.
And she's like, I'm inappropriate. That's my thing. And so she kept saying, they're like, so what do you think of Barnett? She's like, well, he thinks he could fart on me already. I'll tell you that much. He farts on me. Like, what are you doing? Like, you're meeting his parents, dude. Come on.
I did love her mom, though. Her mom, when her mom started to talk, I was like, that is a Ronnie Caram character. She was like, hey, hon.
Yeah.
How's it going, hon?
Can you listen to me here? You better be good to my daughter. My daughter has been through a lot. You better be good to her.
I was like, you're lucky. Your daughter has a fucking couch to sleep on tonight, ma'am.
I know. And Barnett, I was surprised to see that Barnett was somehow like a snob. I was sort of was expecting him to be just like whatever. But when he rolled up to her house, he's like, well, her mom's house is in a neighborhood I wouldn't normally go to. It's basically a dump. It's a dump.
Yeah. This Instagram of hers is just so her. It's so everything you think it would be. Now, she's 26 years old, okay? It's not like this is that crazy for her age, but her Instagram is her with a straw and a margarita pitcher. And it says, vibes, all 2020. period. And then the next line has a period. And then hashtag no cups, no problem. Hashtag no fucks given. Hashtag get lit. That's just so her. You know, of course that's your Instagram. Shame on
you. And there's like a ton of pictures of her on her feed, her and Barnett, and they're just like big smiles, like, yes, we're happy and in love. I mean, they do look like they're having a great time, but I think this is not going to last. That's what I'm telling you right now.
Well, I'm looking at his Instagram, too. He's like, channeling my inner Johnny Bravo today. Hashtag hubba hubba. Hashtag hey baby. Hashtag Netflix. Hashtag love is blind. And then his Corona jacket. So he is 27. So they're around the same age. Okay. Oh, he's in the jacket shop trying to find his specifically terrible jacket. Okay. So who else did we have?
And by the way, she has a picture. They did a love is blind thing at City Winery Atlanta. We were there. That's so cool. Sorry. So anyway, the point is this. She's trash. He's a fuckboy. They found each other and happily ever after for the next few years. So there's that. So now can we talk about, I really have had a lot on my mind about Damien and Giannina.
Oh, God.
Basically, I fucking hate Damien. I think Damien is such an asshole. She's an idiot. And I cannot stand the way she talks. I cannot stand her sing-songy voice. Like,
she talks like she is acting.
I always thought that I'd fall in love with a friend. And instead, I don't want you to propose to me. I want to propose to you. So, Damien, will you marry me? Like, everything she says is in this la 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 la, and it drives me nuts.
She sounds like she has memorized lines, and she puts pauses in sentences and then throws her head back when she talks to you. It's the weirdest. She's got the weirdest effect.
It's like a fourth grade play. It's like literally like listening to an elementary school kid doing their lines.
And then she walks around. She like gets like really upset and starts walking around a lot for nothing for no reason.
She is so annoying. But I think Damien is worse because I think that she is at least like somehow innocent, or not innocent, but like she's young and naive and an idiot. And I think Damien is actively a manipulator because every time they get into a fight, he immediately puts all the blame on her. He's always like, this is what you do. This is what you do. I'm trying to speak. And then you look the other way and you look at the wall and you're always looking at walls. And why are you looking at walls? Walls aren't interesting. I'm interesting. But you look at walls and you make me feel like I'm second best to a wall. I'm like, what are you talking about?
Oh, God.
That was not an actual fight that happened.
He's one of the cries. It's close. I mean, it was cell phones. But he's like, oh, there you are on your cell phone again. She's like, yes, I am on my cell phone because I like to be on my cell phone. And he's like, oh, well, that is just disrespectful. And then he like goes on. He seems like very emotionally abusive.
Yeah, 100%. He's so manipulative, and she always winds up saying things like, Damien, I know that I am crazy, and I appreciate that you put up with my craziness, and I have to thank you for putting up with me being crazy to you. And then he'll be like, listen, you have to start making changes, otherwise you're going to lose me. You're going to lose me. Like, bye-bye, Ginger. Get out of here.
Yeah, he's definitely emotionally abusive. I can't believe they're still together because I totally thought the whole time she was like, oh, fuck this homely guy. And like, I'm staying with this guy for about 10 minutes. I'm going to get whatever, you know, followers I can off this show and get rid of him. But then she's like, we are still married because we really have worked things through. And I have realized I can be a better person with him. Like, what? What are you still doing with him?
What are you doing? You cannot be a better person with him. He is an asshole. He is. I think that he's someone who, again, it's almost like Mark, where he fell in love with the idea of, like, this is going to be my wife, and this is what he fell in love with. And then he does things to sort of bring her down, so that way she won't leave. You know, so he's constantly nagging her and constantly acting crazy. And then, like, basically, it all culminates with that, you know, they go to, it gets up to the altar, and she's like, Damien, I love you. I love you more than I could ever love anything in the world. And I have to say, I do want to be your wife, something like that. And he's like, this is the hardest thing I've ever had to do, but I do not. Because you have shown me time and time again that you are not ready and you can't do this. One day you say you have butterflies, another day you don't have butterflies, and I am all in, but you have proven that you're not all in. I was like, how about you just say I don't, and say it's just not the right time, instead of like going in on her in front of all her friends and family and making her feel like a piece of shit, you asshole.
Yeah, he is an asshole. But about the negging thing, I think that you're right that he does that to her to bring her down, but then she's also always pushing him in a way, but then when he does get mad and cry, she's like, that is all I needed to hear from you, is that you care about me, because now you are crying about it. And it's like, oh my god, you two are nuts. Like, you're purposely making him crazy to upset him, because then that shows you that their love language is crazy. And then they were fighting so bad and couldn't fit, because she told him, you don't give me butterflies anymore. And so he's like, oh, well, you said I didn't give you butterflies. So he's trying to figure out how to get the butterflies back. And then they're always fighting. And the only way they can have fun together is if they're fighting. And so they had to end up going into different rooms and talking through the walls again to, like, have a decent conversation, just like the show. Oh, my God.
And then she's like, remember how you always say that that's the best sex of your life? Do you ever hear me say that? And he goes, no. That's because I don't think it's the best sex. I say it's good sex, but remember how I never said it was my favorite sex? Remember how? I'm like, shut up. And they're yelling at you. She said, now it's like, when she said that, I was like, shit, they're breaking up right now. This is over. And she's like, notice how I jump on you, but you don't jump on me. Did you notice that? Do you remember how? You didn't jump on me. It's like, oh, and then he's, and then they're like, it's so dark and so nasty. And then they wind up like making out. I'm like, fuck you guys.
Yeah, fuck you guys. Cause that's that couple, you know, and that's the couple you go out to dinner with and they fight the whole time. And then one of them goes to the bathroom and you're with them. And then they're like crying to you and like trying to get you to say, break up with him. And then you're like, okay, well, he seems abusive. Break up with him. And then they fuck him that night. And then they're like, oh, well, fuck you for saying I should break up with him. It's like, oh, God, you know.
And then they also had a major blowout because they were going to go meet his parents. And his parents were like, fuck this. We're not going on a reality show to meet your, like, two-week-long engaged fiancé. No way. So then they're, like, sitting there in the parking garage. What did they start fighting about? They just started fighting.
She's like, wouldn't you even be there for me? Like, that is your family. And, like, you are not sticking up for me. They had that fight. And then Amber also had that fight with Barnett. She's like, well, what's going to happen if, like, your parents come in between us and, like, they start a fight with me? Like, whose side are you going to choose? Like, your mom or me?
Barnett's like,
and I was like, what? Where'd that come from?
Barnett's like, my mom. But Damien's like, this is what you always do. You always put me against my family. And I would never do that to you. I would never do that to you. Remember when you met my mom and she liked you? Remember when your mom never said that to me? It's like, I'm going to kill you.
Yeah. So she storms out and like runs away from her wedding and slips and falls and has mud all over her dress. And then she runs to a bridge and her mom chases her to the bridge.
Yes.
And she's Venezuelan. And so her mom, you know, it's very like telenovela. You know, her mom's like, oh, I cannot believe he did this to you. Oh, my God.
Why did you say yes so he could say no? It should have been the other way around. You should have said no and he should have said yes. I don't know how Damien could ever be accepted back in that family. Like, that was he. Because, again, it's not that he said everyone else, anyone who said I don't at the altar, including Jessica, they were very respectful. They just were like, I'm sorry, I don't. It's not going to work out. And he was literally like, I don't. Like, I would be down for it, but I don't think you are because you did this. And he, like, guilt tripped her in front of everyone. And it was such a dick move. It was so obnoxious. The fact that she ever went back to him. And, you know, by the way, I bet something that played into it was their politics. Because at one point he asked about politics. And they never state what their politics were. But I'm pretty sure he's conservative and she's liberal, right? Like, I think that's pretty obvious.
Yes. And, yeah.
And he's like, so you wouldn't be willing to change your politics? She's like, my family's Venezuelan and I have to send them back food. Like, why would I ever?
Yeah, it's like,
I'm
hell
assuming
no.
Be like pro-Trump, right? That's what he's asking her to be.
Yeah, she's like, no, that's never going to happen. So you can drop that right now. Okay, so we've got two more couples to get in here. Let's go with, the main successful couple is Lauren and what's Cameron. His buns? What's his name?
Cameron. Cameron's
Union. He's a scientist. He's like, hey, bro. You. He's like kind of like a bro version of a scientist. And it was funny when they showed him with all his friends and they're like, you're going to get married after knowing someone for 5 minutes? And he's like, yeah, brah. Like, he's like a bra scientist. It's weird.
You know what's funny is that while we're talking, somehow the Cameron impersonation caused my Siri to go off. And Siri like went on and said, okay, I'm going to turn your media volume to zero. I was like, I don't know why Siri just went off, but that is so appropriate to what Cameron would do. It's like Siri's like, oh, we're talking about Cameron now. I'm going to turn volume to zero.
Yeah. So Lauren was my personal favorite on the show. She wasn't very exciting, but she's stunningly normal. Gorgeous. She seemed to have a brain, you know, like she was actually thinking it through and talking it through. And she's like, well, I don't know how this inner... How does she talk? She kind of has like this kind of like a backup talk.
Well, no, if she was around Cameron... She spoke up here like this a little bit. She's like, ooh, we're going to have fun. Ooh, this house is so much like you, Cameron. Cameron, I think I love you. You know, but then, like, when she's around her friend, she's like, damn. She's like, yeah, I'm into this guy. He's white.
Yeah, she's got some kind of nasal thing to her voice that I found very soothing. And then she's with Cameron, who's totally boring. And I was like, this isn't going to work because Cameron's, like, sobbing, okay? Like, in the pod. He's like, I can't believe... I found somebody that I'm so in love with. She's like,
me too, Cameron. I guess, you know, Cameron, like, it's really nice that I can just, like, talk to somebody, Cameron. And he's like, are you crying, Cameron?
Yeah.
Well, and by the way, it's the first episode, like, after three of their dates where Lauren goes, Cameron, I think I love you. And I was like, what? By the way, we should also mention, I forget exactly what he said, but Damien said something so cheesy when he proposed to Giannina. He like put like a bow tie in a box or something and was like, Giannina, I'm putting a bow tie in a box because it's a part of me and I want you to have this accessory. It was something crazy. Do you remember what that was?
I don't remember. Yeah, I guess it was so like awful.
It was so cringeworthy. It was like,
it's weird.
He's like, I'm giving
notes.
You a part of me.
It's weird watching something like this and not taking notes because when I'm taking notes, I don't feel bored, you know, because I'm doing something. But when I'm not taking notes, I'm like, why am I watching this? You know, I don't think I would ever make it through an episode of Bachelor if I wasn't taking notes.
Yeah, I mean, this show is slow. It is really, really slow. You got to like wait for those special moments, you know?
Yeah.
But
so they were cute. Yes. Basically, this couple's really cute and they were like in love from the first second and just pretty much stayed that way. Now they're still that way and have a YouTube show together. So there you go.
The big concern for her was just that he's white and she's always dated black guys. And she's also very much into her blackness and black families and black, you know, like black culture. And she didn't want to be seen as like a turncoat to any of that, or was worried, would she have to tone down her blackness? That was her big conflict, which I thought was actually a more relatable conflict, even though I'm not black, but I'm just meaning that it was like grounded in something more interesting than like when you're like 24 and like I'm 34. And it basically was like, well, her dad approved, but it seems like her dad eventually approved, and Cameron seems like a nice guy. They both seem like nice and smart and professional. They seem like a good match. So I'm like,
Cameron told the dad, basically he's like, this is not my first time at the rodeo, sir, okay? Because the dad's like, well, you know, have you ever been in a room of just black people? And he's like, yeah, my last girlfriend was black, don't worry about it. He's like, I've got this covered. But she ended up, you know, she kind of made fun of herself at the reunion for bringing it up so much. And then she's like, yeah, it's great. Like, he's just a great person. And, you know, they're really cute. Although there is something about him. I don't trust a man who cries that quickly because I think that that's manipulative. And also he manspreads like to a major degree, which was just fucking rude. Okay. And it's not only to people who've ever ridden a subway or a bus. It's just fucking gross. Put your nuts away, sir. Okay?
Yeah.
He just sits there like wide open, like, yeah, I won this. I don't know if I trust
Close him. Your legs to married men, married women, unmarried people, just everyone. Close your legs
close
to
your
everyone.
Legs. It's gross. It's rude. So I don't know and that I really trust him, but she was definitely my favorite.
And she was my favorite, but also like I liked him, but God, every time he came on screen, it was just such a snooze fest. He'd be like, I want to show Lauren that I really, really like her. So I'm taking her to a treehouse today. I'm like, oh my God, please. Could someone just like give this guy some cocaine or something.
Yeah, you know? He's super boring, but I like that for her because he's like a boring, hot, supportive person, and like
they seem
he
like
didn't
they
seem to have any of his weird douchebag hangups like a lot of the other guys. And she's a content creator, so she's always got like her little camera and her, you know, her lights like we have, like her Amazon her Amazon lights and stuff.
Loved her
but
mom.
She's not a total dick about it. She's like actually down to earth, and
she
I don't know,
she
doesn't
smart.
She doesn't seem thirsty, you know. I liked her.
Yeah, I liked her, and I like him too, to be honest. I also want to, we actually have two couples left.
I think she's
going to
cheat on him in the future, but there.
No.
That's my prediction. I think that I think he's way too boring for her. I think he's nice, and I think she's seeing that he's the kind of person that she should be with, but God, I mean, he's just so boring. But I don't know, their Instagram looks like they're having fun.
He might be more interesting in real life. Maybe he's just not a good TV personality. But I do want to talk
more
about
fun in their Instagram posts. He's in like a silver suit in one, and then dancing in another crazy outfit in another one. Okay, maybe he's more fun.
I do want to talk about Diamond and
here we go.
What's his face? What's his name again?
Is it Carlton?
Carlton.
Oh. Is it
Carlton? I didn't realize this. Carlton. Yeah. I didn't realize this when we were watching the show, but people have pointed out to me that he was on Real Housewives of Atlanta as Cynthia Bailey's like assistant. He was at the Bailey agency, and he got into like a fight with Kenya and was like kicked out of the room or something like that.
Oh, did you see it? Did you see the clip?
No, I haven't. I haven't watched
you
that
have
clip.
To watch. It's hilarious. Okay, so this is why it's so funny, because his story, he like talks like this, and he's really like tries to be all cool, and he's like, normally the chicks I bang are like so hot, bro, like when all the guys are together, he's trying to be all like, man, I'm a man, but then
bro.
His big
he comes in all
yeah but then his, yeah like normally I'm flashy and I like the hottest chick with the biggest tits in the, like, he's just gross, you know. He says a couple things and I'm like, you're fucking gross. But then he's like, but my thing is, you know, in the past I've dated guys and women, and you know, I just don't see sexuality. I don't see gender, and I'm fluid, right? Which is fine. Like, that's a perfectly, who cares? You know, it's 2020.
Yeah.
But the way he went about it with her, like, he got proposed to this girl and has been putting on this, he didn't tell her, and then before we get to that, before any of that happened, I was like, oh, okay, well, that's interesting. We haven't seen this on one of these shows yet, like a totally fluid person, right? So then I get sent this clip and was dying laughing, because not only is he an assistant to Cynthia, he's like an Atlanta queen, girl. Like, he's like,
yeah. He's like, and he's, by the way, also appeared on I think it was Love and Hip Hop, or maybe it was, either way.
It's like, it's one of Kenya's first show circuit. Yeah, it's one of Kenya's first episodes on Real Housewives of Atlanta. And, you know, Kenya was coming in, fighting with Portia right in the beginning, then starting shit with Cynthia at her modeling thing. So she comes in with a bodyguard, of course, Kenya, because I'm a public personality. So Kenya's a monster. But this guy said something like, who are you? Like, he starts getting into like a huge, like, girl, who are you even? And she's like, who am I? Who are you? And he's like, whatever, bitch. You don't even need a bodyguard. I don't know who you are, bitch. I don't even know who you are. She's like, oh, I'm a bitch now. And Cynthia's like, please get out. And he's like, like, he is totally the most extreme Atlanta queen ever. So then seeing him these years later, trying to pretend like, oh, you know, that's just some crazy little part of my past and I'm fluid. I was like, no, you literally called Kenya Moore a bitch on TV, sir. Like, let's not pretend.
Yeah, exactly. So his whole thing is, they didn't want to talk about that he was, you know, that he was fluid, that he's hooked up with men in the past, because he didn't want to get rejected. So we already see this massive pitfall happening, because in a situation like this, you got to be upfront about everything, right? So he doesn't tell Diamond
point.
At all.
You're supposed to not see each other and accept each other for who you are, and he lies. So he enters into it with a lie and then sets her up to
or
look like an asshole about it.
Or he omits a very big part of who he is, like a huge, huge, huge part.
Yeah.
And so I was even surprised that they got engaged, because I didn't see any chemistry between them. I didn't see any connection. I saw it very much as like they were like pals. I was very, very surprised. So they get engaged. I don't think she was into him from the beginning, because when they meet each other on that, like, when they see each other for the first time, it's in this weird, almost like Epcot Center, like, this is the future of living, like an underground terrarium that we live in. So they, like, these doors open up and they, like, go down this hallway and they hug. And then she, like, pulls back and looks at him like, okay. okay. But it's like that way that's like, oh, gross. But she doesn't want to say that. So she's saying, okay. You look a little bit like the banana from It's Peanut Butter Jelly Time. But okay. Okay. So she's, I don't think she was ever really into him. But they, so then what happens is after they get engaged, they go on like essentially their honeymoon. They go to, everyone goes to a Mexican resort. And so on their first night, they have a, they have this, this romantic dinner, and Carlton is now, he's now going to tell her that he's bi or fluid, and he's very anxious. And so as a result, he starts being like really bitchy to her and starts saying all these like obnoxious little things about her and how she looks and how he, and how she acts. And she's like, oh, what the fuck? So then he like, they wind up basically at the pool. And she's like, what's going on? What's on your mind? And so then he reveals that he has hooked up with guys before, that he's essentially fluid. So she's like, okay, wow, there's a lot to process. And he's like crying. And he's like, that's a very, I mean, I felt like it was an honest moment, but he's like crying. And she is sort of trying to both be there, wants to be there for him and doesn't want to be an asshole, but also is like, how do I feel about this, right? So she's grappling.
Yes. Yeah, so he starts in with this. And then instead of being like, you know, I'm really sorry I didn't tell you. It's just I'm insecure. I didn't know how you take it. I'm insecure about it. I, you know, whatever. Take your time. Like any questions you have or whatever. Instead, he turns it around on her, right? Because she's like, well, yeah. I'm just processing what you told me. He's like, really? Oh, really? Oh, this is what I need to be judged? Oh, that's what I need? Oh, yeah. Now you're going to judge me? Oh, well, whatever, bitch, walk off. Because she gets mad because he's yelling at her and like really nagging her. So she gets up and she's like, I'm going to talk, I'll talk about this later. And he's like, oh, whatever, bitch, you're that kind of bitch, huh? She's like, oh, yeah, well, maybe you need to go catch a dick.
Yeah. But he was being a total asshole.
He was. Because, you don't. That, because total, it's totally unfair what he did, I think. You don't just.
I agree.
That time to tell her was in the pods, sir. You're, this is not something like new that you're like. You're on Atlanta being the queeniest queen of all queens in queendom, yes. Okay? So it's not like he's just figuring it out or in the closet or whatever. He's purposely trying to like manipulate somebody to stay on this TV show so he could get more fucking airtime and not go home like the other faceless people that we don't even remember now. It was just totally uncool. And then he tries to have his moment by being like, oh, well, she's going to try and break up with me, then I'm going to go all Kenya Moore on her and call her bitch and stuff on TV. Like, who are you?
And
you're
throw
an
a
asshole.
Ring into the pool. I mean,
what a prick.
It was such, I mean, the fact that he would not give this woman who he allegedly was in love with the time and the space to process, like, how does she feel about this? How does she feel about the fact that he wasn't upfront and all that stuff? I think she might, maybe she would have been fine with it. She just needed like a moment, but the fact that he was not upfront and then that he didn't seem to recognize why that was bad was so obnoxious. And at the reunion, it seemed like he did learn, but I think at the end of the day, your take is right. He's thirsty. He's a reality TV queen, and he just wants to be on. And by the way, I didn't mean to say queen as like a pejorative. I mean, like more like the way we are. Like Ryan and I are queens. and he's just like, you know, he wants to be on TV, and he was afraid he would not, if he said it in the pods, he would not meet a girl and he would not be on TV as much. I think that's really what it was.
Yeah. I didn't like him before we knew the news. I had some kind of soft spot during the news because I was like, oh, this is obviously something he's grappling with. But then the way he treated her and then everything after, and I don't believe he's sorry at all. He's just like I mean, this is the biggest show in the country. It's number three today on, that's what Netflix says, it's number three, which, I mean, this show's freaking huge. So I'm sure that the people have been taking their lumps, you know? So I'm sure that that's why he came back. But I think he's a total asshole. Did not like him at all.
Yeah.
And then those are pretty much the main couples. So they came back for this. Oh.
Well, we also, how could you forget the effervescent, exciting, totally captivating couple of Kelly and Kenny.
Oh, God.
Also known as, they were on the show, too.
Well, that was an interesting couple, actually, because this was the only couple that really changed my perceptions of them. Because when I saw her, I was like, oh, okay. Like, she's kind of like an Angela's. What's the name of that character on 90210?
Oh, Gabriella Carteris' character?
Yes. She's kind of that vibe, or like a Mare Winningham character, like from. Like,
I'm gonna push back. I'm not gonna give it. I know
Saint Elmo's fire. Like she's kind of like the one that's like best friend,
next door neighbor, who is always like. She's like she almost is like a vintage Leah Thompson role. Maybe
she looks like Leah Thompson, but she looks like if she was Leah Thompson playing a Mayor Whittingham role. If that makes sense.
I mean, no, she's basically Leah Thompson in Back to the Future, right? Except she doesn't have Biff. She's
kinda,
like
yeah.
Leah Thompson, like a less cinematic version of Leah Thompson in Back to the Future.
Leah Thompson had more of a like sexual vibe, and I don't want to sound like I'm negging this girl on looks or anything. It's just that to me, she was just more of a nerdy kind of a person. And then,
I feel like Leah Thompson in Back to the Future was pretty sweet and nerdy. She was like sweet, nerdy girl next door, right? That's why she was so cute, you know? It was like, oh, look. But like also, like there, I guess maybe there was like a little bit of a sexual awakening that was a little bit on display there in Back to the Future that we're not really seeing as much.
Yeah, this girl just seemed really like there was like some kind of insecurity about her. And I took it as like.
She's like Kathy.
Yes, yes. Okay, yeah. She's like a prettier Kathy. Like the cartoon Kathy. And she was okay, but she seemed like nerdy and neurotic and like insecure and all these things. But then we find out later in the show that she's not those things at all. She's actually like considers herself like a super hot girl who always like bangs really hot guys. And this guy's not hot enough. And I was like, whoa, that was a twist. I did not see that twist. I thought her sexual insecurity with him or her sexual unavailability at first with him was that she thought he wasn't as into her and she didn't feel very pretty or she didn't feel good enough or like I kind of projected all this stuff onto her. And then we find out later that no, that's not it at all. He's just not enough of a fuckboy for her.
Yeah, my read on it was they had this very sweet, you know, relationship. They just seemed like they were clicking so well, but she was sort of like sweet and fun and like didn't want to like rush things and he didn't want to rush things and they really understood. But then I thought she was like very, very innocent maybe, and she just wanted to like take her time, and he was being very patient, and they had like a very sweet but boring relationship going on. But then we find out actually that in a previous relationship, basically she was with a guy and the sex wasn't good, and so it ruined it for her. So she was basically afraid of ruining this one because she wasn't convinced the sex would be good with him. And then as it goes even further, we find out that she's telling her friends, yeah, he's just not like really my type. And it just was surprising because they seemed so into each other, but I thought it was just sort of stuff they were going to work through. And then when it came time for their wedding, he gives this lovely speech. He's just very nice and sweet and wonderful. And then he's like, do you take this woman to be your wife? He's like, I do. And then with her, do you take this man to be your husband? She goes, I don't. That's my decision right now. And I really want to thank you for respecting it right now. That's just what I have to do.
Yeah.
I love you. But that's what it is. I was like, whoa.
Yeah, I felt bad for him. Whoa. I wasn't surprised that she did that. I was surprised at how cold she was about it. But then once we kind of started getting her story through I was like, oh, I see. Because she wouldn't have sex with him, like you said, and he's trying to be patient, thinking, I guess like I'm thinking, like she's got some insecurity or something, and then it turns out that she's either into a guy emotionally and then doesn't like having sex with him because she just likes him emotionally, or they're a total fuckboy and she has amazing sex and she doesn't. I don't know. She had all these things, but then as it went on, she kind of made it clear that she wasn't into it, and he was just trying to like keep it going for whatever reason. Yeah. So I felt bad for him. And I especially felt bad that she was like, oh, he's just not like the hot guy I'm used to dating. I was like, God.
Yeah, and her mom was like, because when she walked away, I actually thought her I don't speech was, I didn't think it was cold. I thought it was actually very mature. She was like, I don't for reasons. And like, I want to thank you for like, I hope you can appreciate them, that this is a decision I had to make for myself. Considering the one we had just seen right before that was Damien, who was just like, I don't because I'm ready, but I don't think you are. One day you're in, one day you're not. And then you said we have bad sex. And guess what, everyone? She has a swollen clit. And it's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. But at least she was mature. She didn't blame him, even though clearly, like, she could have been like, I don't because I'm not attracted to you. I think you're an ugly person. I hate your beard. Like, that's what Damien would have done, you know? So I liked the way that she rejected it. And then her mom was like, God, I love this guy.
Yeah, but her mom looked kind of bitchy. Her mom was sitting there and she was doing this with her finger. And she had a huge, huge smile on her face while she's dumping this poor guy. And then he gives a speech after her and the mom's just like dying laughing. And so then he gives a speech and he's like, you know, I just wanted to say, everybody, thank you so much for coming. And I really love her. And I'm sorry that it didn't work out, but I can't force whatever. And I hope you all have a good time. Please enjoy the munchies. And look, if you want to take something home, feel free. I'm giving away my suit after this if anybody wants it for poor children. And the mom's like, love him.
Love this guy.
I felt bad for him because I feel like the people who really, the people, shockingly, because usually on these shows it's the guys who are like this, but it was the girls who were negging the guys. Like, she's like, he's not enough of a sex bomb for her. And then Jessica in the reunion was like, well, sorry, but like, if I had really been honest with myself when I did see him, normally I wouldn't be with a guy who looks like that or is like that height. Or like, if I knew that he was a personal trainer, like in the real world, I wouldn't have gone for him. And I'm like, oh my God, like, you guys are.
Well, I think there's something to be said for that. I think I can imagine, you know, people, if you go for the same douchebag over and over and over again, and then you come into something like this and you connect with someone, you're like, this is not normally my type, but my issue is that I don't normally go for these people. Like, I'm always going for the Barnetts, and like, what if I try to actually make it work with someone who's not the fuckboy? Maybe I can make it work. And I think that was probably was what she was thinking too. Like, I always have terrible patterns and maybe I can break my pattern, which is sad because obviously it didn't work. I also want to touch on real quickly about the reunion. Nick Lachey and Vanessa Minnillo. Vanessa Minnillo, you know, I have to say, we have given Andy Cohen so much shit very recently about, especially, well, the below deck reunion was reprehensible, but we give him a lot of shit about, what's going on with your boobs? But I have to say, watching Vanessa Minnillo has made me really appreciate how far Andy has come in general over the past 10 years, because this, every question she was like, you know what I love about your story, Amber, about how you found a piece of cheese in Barnett's underwear? It really proves that love is blind. I love that. I love that story for you. It's like, okay, Vanessa, thanks for the sermon.
Vanessa is an evil, evil monster of a human being. She looks, she has satanic eyes, okay?
She does.
The way she talks, like, her eyes are always kind of half closed, like, like, she's giving, like, a dirty look. She looks like she's maybe kind of a little drunk. Like, she's got this, like, pop to her head when she talks to people. She looks like an asshole. She acts like Nick Lachey is the biggest prize she could have ever won in the sea and is, like, keeping the net on him as tight as possible. He's a douchebag. He's a total douchebag. And they relate everything back to themselves. It's like,
they do.
You know what, you guys? Love is not only blind, but Nick Lachey is very popular and married to me. Nick. And then they're just like holding hands and rubbing each other's legs. Like, we're so in love. And then they keep saying things like, you know what? I was really proud of you for showing that on television. Because it's really hard when you're so in love with your wife. I'm like, what are you two doing? This is not a key party. And you're not like the heads of some fucking couples therapy. Cut it out. It was like church couples night.
It was,
you know?
Yeah, it felt like watching Marriage and Medicine whenever they get the, like, whenever they do their their unlicensed group therapy. That's what it felt like with Vanessa Minnillo. She actually ended the reunion with like a 2-minute long soliloquy about how proud she was that love really can be blind, blah, blah, blah. Which, by the way, no, it can't be, because 3 out of the 5 couples didn't work. Okay. Or maybe even 4 out of the 6 couples didn't work. Those numbers prove that love is not blind.
Also, but your husband married a fucking supermodel. Okay. After he married Jessica Simpson. I mean, I'm assuming that's what she is, right? She's fucking gorgeous. That's for sure. But who is she? She's a model, right?
Well, Vanessa Minnillo, she probably is a model, but I think she started with MTV. That's why she was mainly doing most of the talking, because her experience was hosting these reunions for like Road Rules and stuff like that for years,
which is why
she was asking all the questions. And then every now and then Nick would be like, I know, right? I mean, you should see her, way she puts toilet paper in the roll. Am I right, guys? Women. Am I right?
Nick Lachey is such a waste of space, and he is really bowling balled his face out. Like, he looks crazy, like too much fillers, too much Botox. He just looks crazy. He looks like a, just what he is, like, an aged fuckboy, you know, like a very smooth piece of salami, you know.
I still think he looks pretty good generally. Like, he still looks
well. He's a good looking person. Years ago. Yeah, I mean, he's a good looking person. He's just gone too, like, oh, they're like, Love is Blind, yeah. But my husband can't move his face because he's trying so hard to hang on to his looks. And I'm a model, so there you go.
I think the producers did not like Vanessa Minnillo because when they went to Mexico and they were all at the resort, and there was that initial scene where they all had like a cocktail party, and they weren't expecting to see everyone all together. And then Vanessa Minnillo came out, and she was like, Minnillo. She came out and started talking to them. I have never seen such bad lighting on a TV host before in my life. She was literally in shadows. Her face was darkness, and there was like a slice of light around her cheekbone. I was like, are you not going to light your hosts? What is happening here? Put a light on her face. We're crying out loud. I was like, they hate her.
I don't think they like her either. She doesn't come across as very likable, but fun, you know, fun-ish show. I was with you in the thought that it's just really drags. It's very long, and I think that once I pressed pause to go pee or something, and I was like, why am I pressing pause? Like, what am I gonna miss, you know? But I pressed pause and I noticed it was over an hour, and I was like, oh, okay, so it is like Bachelor length, kind of, where it's,
yeah, because there's no commercials. It's just like, it's just, yeah, it's like a long. Oh, one other thing I have to talk about before we sign off on this show has some of the very worst interstitial music, transitional music I have ever heard. It all sounded like really lame Christian rock. It was so bad. It made me really appreciate the good work that Trixie Monocle does on Bravo, because this music was like weird, sad strumming of a guitar and like a woman's voice being like, but you gotta love, and then it'd be like a new scene. Some weird shit. Like, every song was so awful.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
It was so
overall
so
pretty fun. I would like to see different variations. Like, I would like a Lala and Randall version of this show. Just Love is Rich, you know, or Love is Really Fat or something. Like, I don't know what, but I don't know that Love is Blind, because I think they've definitely found a way to cheat, and they can tell who the hottest people are. And so they need to find some way around that. And they've tried it with the circle, where the circle, you don't even hear the person. You just see them typing. But then that's hard because then you're just watching people type. So that's weird.
I know. That is an odd show. It's like, circle, text Veronica, hey, what you up to? And then Veronica, if there was a Veronica, because I forget their names now, it's like, oh, what you up to? Oh, she's trying to play me. Circle, say nothing much. And you? Nothing much. It's like it goes on for like an hour like that. I'm like, why am I watching this?
And they're just like eating on the couch while they're doing it. Like, I like the girl in the first episode's like, ooh, I got him. Idiot.
I actually was more fascinated by that show than I was Love is Blind. The only reason why I stopped watching it is because we did a bunch of traveling right in the middle of that. And then when we came back, I was like, I'm just going to leave. I don't know. I don't know if I can watch any more of this. Plus that Italian guy that like, hey, he was so annoying that he was actually the main reason why I had to stop watching this show.
Yeah, buddy.
He was just like screaming.
Buddy, yeah, like buddy.
A never-ending Big Brother confessional.
Yes. But you know who is like that on this show is Mark. He was totally Big Brother confessional. Everything he said, he's like, oh my God, I really like this girl. She's really great. Mark. Mark. My God.
Please, take some Visine. So, I will say I did not love the show, but I really enjoyed recapping it with you right now. So that like anything that I enjoy recapping with you makes me like the show more. So now I'm actually excited for the next season.
Well, these shows are more fun if we're actually recapping them and taking notes, because then it doesn't matter if we like it or not. We're going to just get through the hour anyway, you know. So I think next time we choose one of these, we should just choose one and just say we're recapping this no matter what, and then just do every episode.
Yeah, because at first, I wasn't sure if this would be a show we could recap, because the early scenes that episodes that took place in the pods was just like people talking and having bland conversations. And I was like, how are we going to recap this? But I can't believe I would ever doubt our ability to mock people having bland conversations. That's like what we do.
What
was I thinking?
And especially like now with all this shit going on in the world, it's like, you know, we don't know what's even going to be shooting. They're canceling everything. So we're going to go through, not necessarily right now, but there will be a time where we're going to need a lot of shows to recap to keep the show going. Because guess what? We're still fucking working every day, damn it.
Yeah.
So, and we're lucky to, thank God. So we'll keep putting it out. So if you guys have any shows that you hear about that are coming that sound like they're going to be amazing, or that you would like to see us do, or you have any ideas that you'd like to see us recap, just let us know, because we are listening, okay?
Yeah, absolutely. So everyone, thank you so much for joining us in this Love is Blind recap special. We really appreciate it quite a bit.
We love you guys. We will talk to you next time. Bye.
Bye.